Good morning, everyone. It's a better one, isn't it, than yesterday, anyway. We're just going to go over to Jan to do the notices.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. What a lovely day. Breezy, but nice. Glad of that rain that we've had through the night, but it's good. It's good to welcome you all with us, and good to welcome the people on YouTube as well. So I'm going to read the notices for this week. No ladies meeting or ARC playgroup this week, as it is half term. Wednesday the 28th of May, there is still a prayer meeting down here between 11 and 12. On Thursday the 29th is still lunch club. That's at 12 until round about 1:30, 2:00. On Saturday the 7th of June is Joe's induction, and that will be at 3:00, followed by tea and cakes. Plenty of cakes, I think. If you'd like to make any donations of cakes, they'd be very welcome. Saturday the 28th of June is the YBA Assembly and AGM. That's between 9 and 4. That's at Bingley Baptist Church. And there's lots of information on the YBA website. On Thursday the 5th of June, there's to be a celebration of the life of Sue Taylor. The committal will be first at Brimington Crematorium at 1:10, at 1:10 in the afternoon. A celebration service at Ebenezer Gospel Hall, Killamarsh, at 2:15. I do believe that's the one near Aldi, if I'm right. I think it's the one near Aldi, isn't it? Yeah, and I've been told on here that the dress code is cheerful. So, website, Facebook page, all updated regularly. Tina.
Thank you. I'm just going to read a psalm, which is Psalm 134. Oh, praise the Lord, O ye servants of the Lord, you who serve at night in the house of the Lord. Lift up holy hands in prayer and praise the Lord. May the Lord who made heaven and earth bless you from Jerusalem. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you are King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and Sovereign. We praise you this morning. We thank you that, yes, through the dark times you are with us. Through our joy, you are with us, Lord, and you will help us go through all those times. Lord Jesus, I ask your blessing upon Jo as she comes to give us the word, and pray that it will touch each and everyone's heart here this morning, that, Lord Jesus, we go out knowing you've made a difference. You've met us, you've comforted us, you've put your arms around us, and you've wiped our tears. Lord, take all of us this morning and use us as a family to honour your name. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Over to you.
Morning.
Morning.
I was trying to work out where I get to sit down today. I don't think I do, but there we go. Jan is now going to come and read for us. Jan.
Today's reading is John 10, 1 to 21. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, "He has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Amen.
So, this morning, we continue to ask, who is Jesus? And we continue with our I Am series. Jesus responds to who he is: I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. He says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and find out. Go in and out and find pasture. And Jesus continues to knock on the door of our hearts, and he continues to wait for our response. And you may think about that being about accepting Jesus as your Lord and Saviour when you first became a Christian, and it is, but it also, Jesus continues to knock on the door of our hearts about many different things. A couple of weeks ago, I shared this picture, and this is by Helmut Hunt. It's a painting by him entitled Light of the World. And the artist has used more than one of the I Am sayings to paint the picture. There's more than one I Am saying that's depicted here. We have the door, of course. And the door is overgrown, and it's long and opened. And here Jesus is knocking on the door. And it's depicting Revelation 3:20. It says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." And if you look closely at the door, you'll see there's no door handle on Jesus' side. He doesn't just enter our life. He waits for us to open the door and to invite him into our life. And the painter said this was to represent the obstinate mind, the obstinate shut mind. Can anyone be a bit obstinate occasionally? Is it just me? Thank you, Tim. We all can all be a bit obstinate, can't we, from time to time? And we can all shut that door on Jesus from time to time and think, Oh, not today. Sundays maybe, but not today. And he also holds a light in his hand, symbolising Jesus being light of the world. And it casts light in the darkness around him. Today we look at, I am the Good Shepherd. You can't talk about I am the Good Shepherd without also talking about Jesus being the door or the gate, as some versions translated as. So forgive me if I reiterate some of what Suzanne was teaching us last week. Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is a shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out his own, he goes on ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they'll run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. Jesus is saying, I am the only way into the sheepfold. And that's by the gate. He is the gate. There's only one way in, and he has to open the gate, or he knocks at the door and perhaps we open the gate to go in. And people might come and try and sneak over the fence, but actually that doesn't work. They're not the true shepherd. They're only imitating Jesus. They're only wanting to steal and destroy the sheep. They are the thieves and the robbers, clearly to be avoided. And in this very rural analogy, Jesus was using the image of the people of God. That's you and me being sheep. I did actually think about being slightly humorous, and I did practice my at one stage, but I did think that perhaps you think I was completely bonkers, which you may well be right, but John and I did much giggling over my but there we go. And then I saw that Tina had ducks in her ears, and I did wonder about doing impressions of a duck, but anyway, that didn't fit in, but there we go, I digress. I think Jesus uses all kinds of imagery, doesn't he, to talk to us, and sometimes he uses the silly things in life. John and I went for a walk, and we came across all these sheep, and they all came over to me. It was very odd. And I think God was kind of using it as a confirmation of my calling as a pastor, if you like, of the sheep. And yeah, they all came over and they go, bah, bah, and I think, oh. So I started to preach to them. And I can't remember what I said, but anyway, I started to preach and gather them in, as you do. And a month or so later, we went back. I thought, oh, here's my sheep. And they totally ignored me. Well, there we go. Psalm 76 and 50, verse 50 says, he brought his sheep out like a flock. He led them like sheep through the deserts. Psalm 79 and verse 13, then we, your people, the sheep of your pasture, will praise you forever from generation to generation. We will recount your praise. There's lots of imagery in the Bible about sheep, isn't there? The gatekeeper, God, opens the gate for the shepherd, that is Jesus, allowing him to look after the sheep, that is God's people, to bring them into relationship with him. And when the sheep, us, go out into the world, as it were, Jesus goes ahead of us and we follow him. We follow him and we know his voice. And sometimes I think Jesus' voice gets caught, doesn't it, on other things and other distractions. But we know his voice. We know it. If a shepherd calls his sheep over to feed, they respond. They respond because they know the shepherd and they trust him and they know his voice. They know that they can trust him because he always looks after them. And if someone else comes along and calls a sheep, there's a lack of response because, well, they don't know who he is or her. They don't trust him or her. They suspect that it could be someone else with wrong intentions, trying to steal them or to do them harm. So they don't respond. In fact, they run away. They run away in fear. This photo, I keep pointing there, I should be pointing there, shouldn't I? But there we go, too many screens in this place. A photo was taken on another of John and I's walk. I don't know whether it was the same one, but he looked quite lonely there, just stuck at the gate. But it seems to fit today's sermon, didn't it? There are plenty of verses in the Old Testament that speak of God being the shepherd of his people. Psalm 23 in verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I will not be in want." Psalm 80 verse 1, "Hear us, O shepherd of Israel, you will lead Joseph like a flock." Jeremiah 31 and verse 10, "Hear the words of the Lord, O nations, proclaim it in distant coastlands. He who scatters Israel will gather them and watch over his flock like a shepherd." I am telling you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep, and all others who come before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Those who come in by me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come in order that you might have life and life in all its fullness. Jesus is saying he is the only way into the sheep pen. It's the only way for people to come to God. He's saying that you and I, to have a personal relationship with him, then this is the only way in. Jesus is saying he is the way to the Father. And just think, if you were there at the time, and Jesus is saying, "Oh, well, I'm the way to the Father," and it's like, really? The thief and the devil, or Satan, if you like, comes to steal and destroy, but Jesus comes to give us fullness of life and life in its abundance. Abundant life. We might not get everything that we pray for, but God always listens. And actually, we have everything that we need. So that they really get it, he continues to build on what he's already said. He's saying, "I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep." But what does it mean by being a good shepherd? What would we want from someone to be a good shepherd? What would we look for someone to look after our lambs? Someone who was caring and looked after them. Someone perhaps with a bit of experience. At least they knew what they were doing. Someone who fed and watered the sheep. Someone who protected them from wild animals and potential threats. Conversely, what would make a bad shepherd? The opposite, perhaps. Somebody who didn't care. Someone who didn't know what they were doing. Someone who didn't feed and water the sheep when it was time for them to eat and to drink. Someone who ran away at the first time of trouble. Maybe someone who was just in it for the money, a hired labourer perhaps. Then the hired man, who is not a shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees a wolf coming and he leaves the sheep and runs away. So the wolf snatches the sheep and scatters them. The hired man runs away because he's only a hired man and does not care about the sheep. And here Jesus hints at his forthcoming death, saying he'd be willing to die for the sheep. He'd be willing to die for you and for me. In contrast to Hired Hand, he's not going to die for you. He's just going to run away at the first sign of trouble. He doesn't really care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I am the good shepherd, as the Father knows me, and I know the Father in the same way I know my sheep, and they know me, and I'm willing to die for them. There are other sheep which belong to me that are not in the sheep pen. I must bring them too. They will listen to my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. And this verse, verse 16, has scholars sort of scratching their heads as to what it might mean. Needless to say that Jesus is saying there's some people that perhaps we wouldn't expect to be in the sheepfold, to be part of heaven when we get there. Perhaps they don't look quite like us. Perhaps they don't do the same things as we do in church. Perhaps they're not quite following the Christian lifestyle as we would see it. But there are many rooms in the Father's mansion, isn't he? He goes on to say that. And it's not for us to judge who is and isn't in heaven. That's God's job. We're told that Jesus is the way to salvation. And so we should follow his lead, but leave God to judge. It's not for us to judge people's wrongdoings or what we see as wrong, but then forget about the things that we do wrong. The Father loves me because I am willing to give up my life in order that I may receive it back again. No one takes my life away from me. I give it up on my own free will. I have the right to give it up and I have the right to take it back. This is what my Father has commanded me to do. We learn here that Jesus had the right to say no to being on that cross. He could have said, no, I'm not doing that. But he chose to die for us, to give his life for us. He had free choice, like you and I choose to whether we're going to follow Jesus and God or not. Jesus had the same choice whether he was going to follow his Father's will or not. The question still remains for many of us as to who Jesus was. But he was saying, I am the good shepherd. But still there was division among them. And the people were listening and some said, oh, he's demon-possessed. He's crazy. He doesn't know what he's on about. But others say, well, if you were demon-possessed, if you were crazy, how come he gave sight to the blind? How come he was healing people? John's gospel continues to address who Jesus is. And the gospel continues to operate on kind of two levels. You have the natural, what's happening in the natural, and you have what's happening in the spiritual. There's a deeper meaning behind the things that John's gospel is bringing out. It's the Holy Spirit's job to unravel what these things mean. But there's something for us to remember, isn't it? There is a connection between the natural and the spiritual, and sometimes what we see in the natural is what's happening in the spiritual. And God is using the natural, the things that we see, to talk to us. And I don't know how God talks to you, but I mean, sometimes he talks to me in the most bizarre ways. And I think, oh God, have I really heard you? And it's like I was looking at Tina's shoes, and they're beautiful. They're sparkly. You can look at them later. And I was thinking, yeah, that's Tina, isn't it? Her life and her walk with Jesus is sparkly. It's like who I am, and it's Jesus, and it's like, and I love him, and it's great. If you read John's Gospel account, we see the conflict and tension building as there's hostility coming in towards Jesus. And we see that increasing as we read through the Gospel. It's what's called a trial motif. So it just brings out this sense of conflict and things getting difficult for Jesus and what he's doing. So John is just pointing us to what is to come. And it's strange, isn't it? Because Jesus, as God, is the judge, and yet he's on trial. It's him that we're judging. And Jesus says he is the shepherd. He's also the Passover lamb that will be sacrificed. Being a pastor or a minister means being a shepherd of the flock. And we see that in 1 Peter 5, verse 4. It says, "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's suffering, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Not lording it over others who entrusted to you, but being examples of the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade." And as I was reading the passage, I couldn't help but think of myself, of being pastor here and shepherd of the flock, if you like, of you guys. And I want to say that I might not always get it right. And I think I made the point the other week that I'm not Jesus, so please don't expect me to be, and please don't put me on a pedestal. But I will give you the best of me. And I pray that I will be a good shepherd, looking after the lambs and the older and wiser sheep. And I hope that you can already see my heart and know that I want the best for all of you. And know that I care a great deal. And that you're all held in love. I was ordained back in 2010, and I haven't always got things right, but you can't teach experience, can you? And I hope that I'll keep you fed and watered, and I might even make you the old cup of tea if you're lucky. And if you're really unlucky, you might get a cup of coffee, because my coffee skills aren't as good. But there we go. But I know that there's things that God wants me to teach you and to share with you, that he wants me to bring you deeper into him and deeper into his presence and to hear his voice better. And I can't always be there to protect you from the wild animals, if you like. But I will do my best to protect you and to pray for you and to have your back. And I hope that you'll have my back as well. And if I ever call something out, it's because I think it's important and because I love you. And I'm trying to protect you, not because I'm having a go. And know that I'm not going to run away at the first sign of trouble. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I know that I come to serve, and I come to serve God's. But I'm not a hireling, I'm not someone that's hired. So please don't treat me as such. And if I was in it for the money, I would have stayed in financial services, which I left some time ago. But there we go. But I am looking forward to doing life with all of you and getting to know you all better. And I'm looking forward for us going deeper in our faith and to hearing whatever it is that God wants to share with us and what he's calling us to do and to be. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I will endeavour to lead well, or as well as I can. And I'm not leading on my own. I've got an amazing team, as you already know. And I was going to say, our endeavour to lead well and be like Jesus, but please don't crucify me, because that would be painful. But as a third of thought, aren't we all called to be like Jesus? Aren't we all called to be the shepherd of the sheep? Aren't we all called to look after one another? Aren't we all priesthoods of all believers and all called to be part of that body, to be the hands and feet of Jesus? Aren't we all called to disciple and to love one another and to spread that love and to disciple those around us and those that we meet in the community? Some may be set apart to do things differently. The Bible tells us that some are set apart to be prophets or teachers or whatever. But we're all his hands and his feet. We're all called to pastor the flock and to gather them in. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the good shepherd. And we realise our inadequacies. But Father God, we seek to follow you. We seek to follow Jesus. We seek to follow the Holy Spirit's lead. And this morning, Lord, we pray that you will challenge us to think about our own lives and the way that it means to be a shepherd and the way that it means to follow you and what you're calling all of us today. We thank you for Jesus, who chose to die on the cross for us, for the forgiveness of our sins, so that we might come into a personal relationship with Jesus. And if that's you looking for a personal relationship with Jesus, you just need to say yes and to welcome him in, to open the door, to say that you're sorry for the things that you've done wrong, as we all say sorry for the things that we've done wrong. And Father God, we bring to you those things that we've done wrong this week and the things in our lives where we've shut the door and we've been stubborn and we haven't let you into those situations. And we ask your forgiveness. And we invite the Holy Spirit into our lives to empower us and to give us those nudges when we need them. To nudge us about the things that we're doing that we shouldn't be doing. To nudge us in the right direction. Father God, we pray that we may be a church that is a good place for people to be. That we may welcome all of your sheep, whatever they may look like, whatever we may feel that they're inadequate or not like us or whatever, we pray that we may continue to be a welcoming community, that we may continue to be a place where the doors are open to you and open to those around us. Father God, we pray that you will help us to be a light in this place, in our community. Hear our prayers, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. So a final blessing for you. Go now, and as you go, know this. In grace you were created. In mercy you've been sustained. and in love you'll be held forever. In Jesus' name. Amen.